morning. Thank you, God, that your word is life, Lord, to all who hear it. And this morning, we humbly come and we open our hearts, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge that we are hungry and we are thirsty for you, God. You are the one that satisfies us, nothing else. You are the one that is our source, Lord. You are the source of life. And when we come to you, Lord, we expect that, Lord. We're not here just because we have great fellowship and you've blessed us with great people, Father. But we are here because we hunger and thirst for you. And we have a desire to be like you, God. And we have a desire for your name to be made known in and through us, Lord. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you lead us into truth. And we commit this time to you. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about the harvest, and 2 weeks ago I gave some feedback on the first part of what we call the harvest campaign, and the Himalaya Network and the pastors' conference we had there. And again, if you're keen to join us next year, let me know. You know, it cost you a flight ticket to Delhi. It's an amazing place. Just want to say, Delhi Belly is a rumor. Anyway, it's a miracle. I've never been sick in India. The people that pray for me, oh, I have a special anointing, I'm sure. And we heard about the church plant that's happening in Utrecht in the Netherlands, like in a few weeks' time, second week in July. So if you know somebody in that area, please connect them with us. And please be praying for them. We're praying for them in small groups as well. So it's all about, you know, the harvest. And the other day, it's interesting, I got an email from somebody. They've never been in church, but they managed to get offended with us even without being in church, which is unusual. Normally people get offended. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But sorry, that's a terrible joke. But anyway, so this guy... hasn't been a member of Shofar, but still managed to be offended with us. And he emailed me about, he wanted to know what is our a doctrine about finances and tithing and stuff like that. And I haven't replied, I must reply, but I just for a moment there, I thought, man, you're missing God. Obviously finances are important and we must bless God and we must tithe and all this good stuff and gift aid, okay? But it's as if he's got stuck somewhere, and it's as if he's missing what God is all about. So that's why I haven't replied. I'm just thinking, how can I say this in a way that's going to bless the person? But I was also reminded, how often do we get to a place where we're busy with lots of things and we're missing what's really important to God? And that's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago. So in small groups, we're doing prayer walks. So jump in and join with those. We had a great one. I joined the ladies' small group on Wednesday. That was really exciting. And we did an amazing prayer walk. Do those things and enjoy them. Because that's where we just really connect with God's heart for the community. Okay, so I have to be quick. Okay, I have to be finished almost. So here's the thing. So when Christ is asked about the greatest commandment, he says the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything you got, with all everything who you are. And then he says in this, the second is equal. In other words, those are the same. The same importance is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's very, I mean, we all have heard that before. Okay, that might be the battery. Let's see how long it lasts. Okay, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. But then later on in the Gospels, we see Christ. He didn't change his mind, but he upped the game a little bit. And that's where I want to start this morning in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you. So he, when asked about the commandments, that's what he said a while ago. It was before, right? And then later on he says, now there's a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. But this changes the game a little bit. Because from a place where we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, which is not a bad thing. I mean, most of us sort of, you know, kind of care for ourselves at least. But then he says, this is a new commandment. So this is now probably on top or instead or in addition to. He says, now not only as you love yourself, but now I want you to love as I have loved you. So this adds a different dynamic. The dynamic is added here is that Christ loved us at the cost of himself. So it's no longer, he didn't love us as he loved himself. He loved us in a self-sacrificial way. So no longer just a place where, okay, you know what, I'm going to care for you as I care for myself. But now I'm care for you in a way where it costs me something. It costs me the ultimate price. So now he's asking us to love the world and love each other and we'll love people in the same way that he did in laying down his life. So I don't want this to be a heavy one, but this is sobering for me. Because Jesus did pay the highest price and he did lay down his life. And if we look at the life of Christ, and I must say, I'm going to force myself. But, you know, you have to, you know, read all of Scripture and get as much as the Old Testament in as well as you can. But when I look at the life of Christ, I'm astounded at how focused his life was. You know, we don't have lots of information in Scripture about his childhood, but most of the written about his life was in the 3 years of his ministry, 3 years. And in those 3 years, it's astounding to see how focused and how purposeful his life was to this one end, and to see the lost saved, to seek and to save the lost, and to see, as we said 2 weeks ago, to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And even when we spoke about the woman at the well, it says, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Okay, so now I'm going to have to preach about this another time. But with that in mind and that as a background, I'm going to look at how, maybe in the next couple of weeks, how do we partner with God in loving the lost? How do we practically get out there to love the lost? And I mean, we look at the picture of, or the parable of the sower. we see a sower sowing, and the parable is all about how the seed falls on different kinds of ground. Okay, and I think most of us have experienced that to a certain extent. You know, you encourage somebody or you say something to somebody, and when you talk about God or you talk about your relationship with God, you testify. It's received in different ways. Right? Have you heard that? We can share stories sometime, but I have the mic. So, I had the blessing to be spat in the face once, for the sake of Christ. That was, the Lord says, we miscounted joy, and so I did. But so I've heard some words that I can't repeat now, in response to sharing the love of Christ, and I've learned new words. But the point is we get different reactions. I've told the story many times of people that came up to us and saying they want to be born again. So that's the other extreme. You know, that's like it's better than good ground, because the seed is not even on the, okay, there was obviously seed already, but the people actually came to us and said they want to be born again. And then there's something in between there where, you know, sitting next to a stranger or speaking to a friend, where you recognize, wow, there's an openness here, there's good ground here, and then there's sometimes where you sow seed. I remember having a life changing conversation with a guy when I was still in Stellenbosch, and his life changed, mine also. But he responded very well to the word, and he was we prayed right there, and he got born again. But within a couple of weeks, there was lots of influences in his life that were kind of wanting to kill the seed, and that we see also in the parable of the sower, the kind of the weeds and the things. And but what I want to get to this morning is, how do we prepare the ground? I'm not only talking about the stranger on the bus or on the train. I'm talking about the people that we do interact with and that we do have in our lives. How do we prepare the ground? And how do we love them in a practical way, that we prepare the ground for what God is doing, but also what He wants, is still wanting to do in their lives? Now, the amazing thing about how God interacts with us in the world is that He has chosen to do it through us. Isn't that mind-boggling? That He would choose. He calls us sheep in Scripture, which is not a compliment, just saying. But God chooses to work through us. He's empowered us by the Spirit. And He chooses to do what He does on the earth through you and me. He says, I've given you the keys. I'm going to get to that Scripture in a moment. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and continue from there, from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's quite small up there. And let's look at 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So we see two things. We see the ministry of reconciliation that's happening in Christ. What His life was all about, reconciling us to God, coming from a place of where we are enemies with God to a place where we are reconciled with God. And then the second thing, we see that Christ is the advocate, is our advocate with the Father. Another place it says speaks of Christ making intercession for us daily. And that's kind of the same thing. It's somebody that is acting on your behalf, standing in on your behalf, representing you with the Father. And the amazing thing is that is the ministry that God has also entrusted to us. So in terms of preparing the ground, and we're talking about praying for the lost this morning. There's an aspect of preparing the ground, but there's also an aspect of representing that person, standing in on their behalf before the Father. Okay. So I need two volunteers. Ben, can you help me, please? And maybe Marcus. Oh, Ben, guys, you look awake and ready. Come forward. Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. Okay, come this way. This is more space on this side. So, okay, we need a good guy and a bad guy here this morning. All right, so I need... you're going to be the bad guy. Okay, well, okay, good. So you can stand on this side. Okay, so this morning... let's just see how we're going to do this. Okay, we need one more person. Jurgens. Put down your coffee. Okay, this is good though. This works well. Okay, so I'm gonna be praying for Jurgens, right? So for this illustration, maybe you go stand on the other side. Then Marcus is God. Marcus, congratulations. And move up a little bit. And Jurgens is somebody I'm praying for, and you are the enemy. Okay, so you're the forces of darkness. Yeah, there we go, Ben. Well done. And so this works. It's just very practical, guys. So when I'm praying for my neighbor, there's two things that happens. Firstly, when I'm praying for Jurgens, is I go to God, I stand between Heergens and God. With Christ, in the power of Christ, and in the anointing that God has given me, and the delegated authority of Christ. So I come in the name of Jesus. So this is what Jesus has done, right? So I can't do this on my own. I'm doing this because of the finished work of the cross. I can do the same. So Jesus has come, and he's come, and he's been an intermediary between Jurgens and God. And that is why I can come and do the same. I come and I pray to God in the name of Jesus. I say, won't you look out for this guy? Won't you have mercy on him? Won't you forgive him? And I come on behalf of Jurgens, because Jurgens isn't doing this. He doesn't know about this. He doesn't know a prayer is cool. He just prays when okay, Johnny or Peter or somebody that's my neighbor, right? So there are two things. So firstly, I come to God on behalf of the person I'm praying for, and I'm standing in the gap, and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. Please forgive him. Please work in his heart. Please change him. Please soften his heart. Please save him. So I'm standing between, and I say, don't judge him yet. Okay? And then there's a second very powerful thing that happens. I come and I oppose the enemy on behalf of my neighbor, my brother. And I come between. Again, not in my own strength. I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the power of the cross. I don't pray in any other name. I can only do this because of the name of Jesus. I can only do this because of the power of the cross. I can only do this because God has already won the victory on the cross. I can come and stand on behalf of my brother, my neighbor. I can stand and say, I can do warfare, and I can punish the devil, and I can take authority in the spirit and say, Lord, I know. Then, but I think that's the key. Then I'm not speaking to the Lord anymore. I'm not speaking to God anymore. I'm now speaking to the devil. So that's actually a funny thing, to make a shift in our minds. But then I'm not talking to God anymore. All right? It's kind of, we think of it as prayer, but I'm addressing the enemy. I'm saying, stop. You will no longer do what you want to do. You will no longer steal, etc. Then, and the guys, absolute key here is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What is God already doing in his life? What is God busy with? That's what I'm going to be talking to God about. What is God already doing in his life? And then I recognize what is opposing what God is doing in his life. So then that's where I come here and say, no, this is going to stop. This stronghold of anger, or the stronghold of whatever is busy in my neighbor's life, I'm going to address that. Whatever is opposing the work of Christ in his life, I'm going to address that in the spirit. And if I can do that in agreement with somebody, then how much better? And that's why we do it in small group. That's why we do prayer walks together, okay? Do you get the picture? Yes, guys. Let's give them a hand. That was awesome. You guys did really well. guys, I have to close. So let's just quickly. Okay. There are different things that happen when we talk about planting seeds, all right? So some water, some plants, some water, but God gives the increase, all right? So let's just quickly look forward. Reinhard Bonnke, one of the most prolific evangelists the world has ever seen, says that evangelism without prayer is like a bomb without a detonator. I don't know where this other saying comes from, but I like it. It says, we talk to God about someone before we talk to that someone about God. Does it make sense? And I've often been, I don't know if you've been frustrated about, you know, sharing something with somebody, or sharing your testimony to somebody, or with a neighbor, and they're not really receiving the word, then I want to encourage you that, you know, my sister always, well, not always, she's complained to me once or twice. She says, Yaku, how does it work? I've shared the gospel with so many people. I really have, but I haven't seen a lot of fruit. In fact, she seems to go with a hard ground. She seems to go where there's more swearing and spitting than anything else going on. And maybe that's the environment she's going, and she's really bold. And but I want to encourage people that have experienced that, and saying, keep on doing what you're doing, but don't miss out on this part, because that's going to change the way you experience it. As you connect with the heart of God for somebody, it's going to change the way you look at them. It's going to change the way you talk to them. It's going to change the way you think about them. So when we pray for our neighbors, and we met this family the other day on the street, we were walking with the children. Amazing thing about children is they kind of, they don't walk fast. Okay, so then gives you time. Like anyway, so there was another family with similar size children, and then there was some interaction happening, which was great. But now we can pray for them. So now I tell Abby and David, this kind of still getting the prayer thing, is getting there. But he likes the amen bit. Hey, no, he actually said, thank you, Jesus, amen, the other day, which is amazing. So that was his first prayer. But as we can pray for them, and we can, and I know that because we're praying for them, when we see them again, I have an expectation. A, God is doing something in their lives. B, for opportunities for us to love them and connect with them some more. Okay? So very, very basically, I want to encourage us to get into the habit of praying for the people that God has laid on our hearts. Many of you know my testimony that my parents do not serve God. Okay, my dad is close. It's like halfway or sort of in between. My mom is not close. But no, let me not limit what God is doing in her life. She's not there yet. But all three of us children are radically saved. And I know that my grandmother played a big part in that, because she prayed for us every day. That's a blessing of a grandmother. But so I know most of us have somebody in like that in our lives that prayed for us consistently over a period of time. And I have a suspicion that although God used a whole lot of different people to get me to a point of salvation, I have a suspicion that her input over many years, her prayer, played a big part. And she did probably not know about spiritual warfare and all kind of things, but she was interceding for us. And most of us have somebody like that who was praying for us. And I want to encourage us to be that person for somebody else, to be that person that continues to pray. I had a friend, we were best friends in primary school. Do you remember the American TV show Jake and the Fat Man? This is embarrassingly long ago. But, yeah, thank you. Thanks very much. So, my name is Yaku, so I was Jake. And then this guy, this friend of mine, is quite a big guy. He later turned all the bigness into muscle. So now he's a bit of a scary big guy. But anyway, I think he's actually gotten a bit unfit now again. But anyways, some of you will know. His name is Donnie. He's now a pastor. But for many years, we were best friends, and then we didn't see each other for that often anymore because we were in different schools. But I continued to pray for him. I got born again end of primary school. We didn't see each other a lot. And I knew he was seeking. And we, you know, he was religious, but he wasn't born again. And I remember praying, and then I went off to Stellenbosch, and I didn't see him for a long time. And I didn't pray for him every day, but the Holy Spirit reminded me regularly to pray for him. And I remember when the shift came, and we had a drink somewhere, and I encouraged him, and I just said, you know, I don't remember what I said, but when I heard again, he joined the Shofar Church in Pretoria, which was like 5 people at that stage, and just being planted, and he was the first employee of the church there. If I remember, maybe the second, is now probably one of the longest standing employees. But the point is that the Lord just honored that, and in some way, my prayers over all the years played a role in the point that he's now also in the ministry, and he's also now he's a pastor in Secunda and Standerton. But what I want to say, I just remember when I heard what's going on in his life, I just remember thinking, wow, how faithful is God? I didn't even know I was far. You know, I didn't even know what was going on. But when I looked again, this guy was getting spirit-filled. Then he was getting baptized. Then he was getting spirit-filled. And I looked again, he was working for the church. I'm like, hallelujah. You know? And I want to say, guys, stick it out. Keep praying for your neighbor. Keep praying for your family. Don't give up on those people. Don't give up on somebody that seems difficult or impossible to be saved. Okay, so let's quickly do something. We're going to hand out these. Jurgens, didn't see you so active today. Pass out some of those. So we did prayer cards in small groups a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't get them, we can do another one of those. These orange ones that fit into your wallet. But these ones, do we have any one of those pencils that we use for the offering? If you don't have a pen, if you don't have a pen on you now, I have one. Otherwise, share with your neighbor. But we're gonna write down five names, and then I want you to hand them back to me. And then we're gonna pray for these names at different times when we're praying. And they're telling me it's time to stop. Okay, so we're gonna end now. All right. Okay. Yes, please. I'm gonna get some pencils.
Hello, everyone. Most of you are to Saudi Arabia, and now we have I've lost my tan a bit because it's so hot outside. Now you're more indoors, and I have to wear my abaya. But you actually burn through that. That's not the point. I just want to share with you. First of all, I want to commend you. Since we've left, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, and I tell you, there's not a day that's gone by that I just think back with such thankfulness just of the core group of people here that's been part of our life in the UK. And I just want to encourage you not to be discouraged by, it's not about numbers, it's about whether you carry the truth and whether you actually walk in it. And I just want to commend you for that. And yes, we knew it when we were here, but we became more aware of it even, you know, so when we left. Second thing is, God actually gave me a very specific vision before we left, and I actually saw like our home having a roof terrace. And as we got there, we live in a compound where there's about 500 units, and literally ours were the first one with a roof terrace being ready. And it started, you know, we were literally the first people going into one like that. But the snag was that I didn't see coming. It's in an apartment building. So on the one hand, I stood there being overwhelmed and amazed, and so many things lining up of what God have told me. So I had his word, and yet when I got there, I saw, it's apartment, you know. Your flesh just want to rebel, and you actually freak out. And I want to encourage you, hold on to God's word. And then if your natural surroundings, whatever you're experiencing, seeing, if you're emotional about it, if it's freaking you out, step back. Give yourself space just to look at God's word, you know, because that is the essential thing. And I went through my, you know, moments, but I cannot tell you the peace that you enter and in which you just operate if you just, you know, put your flesh to the side and just hold on and embrace with everything that word that you have of God. So that's my encouragement. Don't, you know, and I was actually taken by surprise. There were so many things lining up that I knew that I knew that I knew we have to be there. And then I step in, walk into the apartment, and I'm like, I want to throw everything out of the window. So we are so quick to have like, to forget that God is actually in this. So please don't forget him. And then last thing, two things. Ask yourself, are you actually convinced, and are you resting in what Christ has done for us on the cross? It's as if you have to make your peace and find your peace in the work of the cross. Okay, and I mean, we are in a situation where they can kill you they do kill you for your conviction. Okay, and we were literally forced to deal with the fact that, okay, well, we are in a country where there's severe persecution. But you know what? What we're learning there, it's relevant anyway. So don't think you have to be in that situation. That's why I'm telling you now. Ask yourself, are you resting in the conviction of the cross? And if you're not, don't worry, but go and wrestle it through and find your peace in the work of the cross. And last thing, what Yaku said about praying. I want to tell you, just pray the scripture. The word is the truth. The word cannot change. It will accomplish what it has been set out to accomplish. And there is just such a freedom. don't be ashamed of the gospel and just speak that word. It's Christ. Christ is the living word. It's Him accomplishing it then. And my heart, yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. In terms of what to pray for people, that is great. This is the best place to start, is to pray for the scripture. Maybe if you can collect those again, brother. Thanks very much. And the pens. You can just put the pens in there as well. No, that's fine. No, it's not necessary. Thank you. Okay, so the point of this is we've done prayer cards in the past where you keep the card and you pray, okay? But I really feel that if you have people on your heart, then you're not going to forget them. I trust. And I also want to trust, I want to encourage you to, because obviously there's always going to be some at the back there. Yeah, thanks. There's always going to be some people that are far. Okay, so obviously I pray for my family that are not saved. But I want us to keep in mind the people that are around us right now. My neighbor, my colleague, the people that I run with or do fun stuff with, or people at the gym, or whatever, the people that you're interacting with. And we're going to, from time to time, do this so that we can pray. Where did that thing go now? Jurgens? Where is it now? Thanks, brother. I'm making Jurgens pay for all the holiday they've had. You see. All right, so we're going to put this in the front here now, and we're going to pray for these names. Okay, I'm going to hold it. So if you can extend your hands, guys, and I want to encourage you, just if you want to do it at home, have it visible, show your children. You know, we have some people pray for that. We have photos of, if you want to do it like that, maybe it'll be a bit weird for your neighbors. Don't stalk them and take photos, okay? Don't do that. But if you want to make it practical for your children, do that for yourself. But the key is here that we partner with what God is already doing in their lives. Let's extend our hands and pray for these guys. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the souls represented, Lord, that are in this bowl, Father, the names, the lives, the souls, the families, the communities. God, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are building your church, Lord. Your kingdom is coming already, and you are already at work in these lives. You love them, and you paid the price for them. God, in the name of Jesus, we choose this morning to say, Lord, we want to partner with you for what you are already doing in these lives, Lord, for what you're already busy with. So we ask, Lord, when we pray, open our eyes, Lord. Show us what you're doing, Lord. Show us what your heart is for them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we choose to this morning to partner with you. We choose to be that person that stands in the gap. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, and we ask for their salvation, Lord. We ask that you would supernaturally do a miracle in these lives. That you are the author of salvation, Lord. We ask that you would save to the uttermost, Lord. You draw them unto yourself in Jesus' name. That you would save their families, Lord. That you'd bring them into the kingdom. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your kingdom come in these lives. Let your name be made known, Lord. Let your will be done, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer, you are the restorer, you are the Prince of Peace, Lord, and we speak your peace over them, Lord. And we say, God, be the King of glory in these lives, God, in the name of Jesus, and save them to the uttermost, Lord. We pray for every seed that has already been planted, and we say, we speak life over them to bear fruit worthy of repentance, fruit unto salvation, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks, guys. We're going to close now.